Welcome to another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. Today, I'm delighted to be talking with Jeffrey Gingold, the award-winning author of Facing the Cognitive Challenges of Multiple Sclerosis. You can get this book at all major bookstores and through Amazon.com. 20% of the proceeds from Jeffrey's book goes to MS Research. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you for inviting me.
Good to have you. Well, why don't we start by having you talk a little bit about your book and how the idea for the book came about.
Sure. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 1996, January 3rd at 9:15 to be precise.
Wow.
Many people tend to remember that those sorts of moments in their lives. And my understanding of the disease was that it was a physical disease. It was a physically progressive and disabling disease. And all the materials that I began to accumulate and pick up from MS libraries emphasized that. And I was a litigation attorney in Brookfield, Wisconsin at the time, and I had a very successful practice. I was a partner in a law firm, and I figured at some point, well, if I end up having to use a cane or being relegated to a wheelchair, I could still practice. I was surprised by symptoms and things that began to occur to me that had nothing to do with the physical part. And I was feeling some cognitive slowness and some thinking stumbling and some difficulties with recall and things like that. And as I began to research, I couldn't find anything for patients which discussed those aspects of MS. And I decided, well, maybe I should write about my experience.
Wow. So, you know, the obvious question is, if you're experiencing some cognitive difficulty anyways, what are the challenges and how do you overcome those challenges when it comes to writing a book?
Well, it probably is difficult as it is for someone to write a book without having any cognitive slowness. But the one thing that I decided to do was be patient with myself. The publisher that I was connected with, we set the timeline when the manuscript would be ready, and I wanted to make it comfortable so that I wasn't setting myself up for failure or sweating a deadline like a college exam or something. And I needed to be organized. I needed to have things laid out for myself, maybe better than most people, and I relied on extensive outlining. I took probably about a year to outline what I wanted to say.
Wow.
And I found that to be useful, to lay out all the anecdotal things that I wanted to share, all of the research that I had encountered. I'm not a doctor. I didn't do any of the research, but I wanted to share what I thought was readable by other MS patients and their family members. And I just took my time to do it, trying to be patient but persistent in writing.
So were there other practices you kind of employed during the writing process? You know, like a time of day or I don't know what it might be, but other practices that helped you kind of be at your cognitive best to write the book.
Definitely. I went in to write not knowing how I would write. I wasn't a writer. Like I said, I was a litigation attorney, and I wrote appellate briefs and made appearances in court, and this was different. I didn't know what would be the sharpest time to write. I had taken through the UWM outreach a couple of writers' courses, and I was interested in the questions that were asked of other writers. People would ask, well, what time of day works for you, as if there was one specific bell that would ring at 9:45 in the morning, and okay, pencils up, everybody start writing. But it didn't work like that for me. I found that there was a time in the morning, and for me, normally associated with coffee, and a time later in the afternoon that were my best moments. And I couldn't go straight through. It wasn't like a job, although I tried to take it seriously and, you know, make a daily commitment to it.
Yeah.
Some days I would squeak out a few sentences or a paragraph. Other days I would get more than a page.
Yeah.
It varied.
And are you a writer who just kind of throws it all down on paper and goes back and edits, or are you a pretty careful writer? How does that work for you?
Well, I try to write down, even in snippets, the topic of what I want to cover so I don't
mm-hmm.
lose it. I'm always concerned that if I say to myself, oh, I'll remember that, yeah, I'll get that later, I won't.
Yeah.
To me, it's sort of like a flowing river, that if I have an idea, if I have a memory, if I have a point that I want to make, and if I were to wrap it up, write it down on a piece of paper and put it in a bottle, put a cork on it, and drop it in a river, it would float in the river. But then if I looked away for more than a few seconds and then went back to get it, it'll be gone, because the river will have taken it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And my thought process, my writing process is kind of like that. If I have something that occurs to me, and yes, it even happens at 2:30 in the morning, and I tend to want to make a notation. I don't have to write down a page. I just need sometimes three or four words so that I'll recall what I wanted to talk about.
Wow. So, Jeffrey, do you work at home to write, or do you just kind of work wherever? What kind of physical situation is best for you? Do you get easily distracted if you're out in public, or does that work better? What works for you?
Well, I use a laptop, so
uh-huh.
Have keyboard, will travel, and I can do both. I have a small writing desk at home that I use. I have an area that I could spread out if I wanted to, but I prefer a kind of a confined little corner that I'm not distracted, where I have my
uh-huh.
back to the rest of the room and the rest of the house. I can also work in coffee shops. I haunt quite a few of them near my home, but I try to pick places where I don't know anybody, because I am easily distracted by people who come up and just, even if it's a friendly, hi, how are you, how's your day, oh, I see you're writing at something, and then they try to get a look at the screen and ask me about what I'm writing, and that's too distracting and too big of a topic to explain the sentence that they might have seen and what it really means. And so I go for where there's white noise. I can go in a coffee shop and whatever they're playing on the radio station, and no matter how many people come and go, let them come and go. Just, you don't have to stop and talk to me, because my thoughts are buried.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. You wrote a memoir, or it's mostly a memoir with some facts and tools in there. So tell me what kind of techniques you use as a writer to recall and write about the past.
It's a bit of a relating back to the moment. And let me try to explain that a little bit better. For example, I try to explain MS cognitive moments, what it's like to have your mind befuddled or slowed or tripped. And what I found that I was doing, as opposed to just describing with general statements like, well, that was a really bad experience, that doesn't bring a person into the moment. And what I would start doing is start to picture the day. I would picture the room. Perhaps all of a sudden I would realize maybe the type of clothing I was wearing, and maybe the routine of that morning of getting the kids off to school and my wife leaving for work. And the more I started to color in the day and the moment, for some reason the emotion of what occurred came back to me a little bit more clear, whether it was a pleasant experience or it was a shocking moment, and I could describe it with more detail because I was bringing myself back to that moment, and the the trouble that I have with that is I get very protective when I'm thinking like that. I don't like talking on the phone. I don't like being interrupted because I take myself down very deep in the well, and it takes quite a while to get there. And if I'm pulled out of it, well, then I kind of have to go through the process again to get back to where I was.
That's fascinating to me. I've read a lot of memoirs, and I've never heard anybody really quite describe it like that. And did you find that once you got back into that place, you had perfect recall? What was it like?
When I got there, I found that I was recalling things that I had forgotten.
Wow.
Whether it was emotions or bits of conversation, or sometimes I'll all of a sudden realize, well, I was eating at the time, or maybe I was having coffee at the time, or, oh, yeah, and then the doorbell rang and somebody showed up, or my daughter interrupted, and all of a sudden we had to scoot off to piano lessons, or something that for a reader makes the description more real, because that's the way life normally occurs. It doesn't, it isn't always fluid in one thing at a time. It's 20 things at a time.
Wow.
And it's a matter of trying to accurately describe that. And I found the more that I put myself in the moment, the more recall I had about what happened.
Wow. Jeffrey, what if someone were to come to you as a new writer and say, you know, what advice do you have for me in terms of getting a book written? What would you say to them?
As far as the actual writing part of it?
It, whatever you want, you know, whatever work you're interested in talking about.
One thing I would recommend, and all I know is the path that I have taken, is to first be honest. Be honest about what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. I think readers know if you're holding back. If you haven't finished with an emotion, or if you've cut them off from what you're really going through, I think readers have a way of feeling cheated and then disinterested in what you're saying. As far as the actual process is concerned, if a person is interested in writing, it's nice to know, for confidence purposes, that you can put two sentences together, and that if somebody else reads the two sentences, that they'll actually be interested in them, understand them, and perhaps want to go on to the third sentence. And to that end, I think writing courses, writing seminars, writing coaches, those sorts of things can be very useful, just to get some honest feedback from people who are not vested in what you're doing. Family, friends, and relatives are nice, but they're your family, and you may not get an honest reaction.
So what kind of courses did you take to prepare you to do this book?
I took a course that dealt with reminiscent writing, reminiscence, I think it was called, and it dealt specifically with reaching back and trying to remember the details of an event, and it didn't have to be a historical event, just going to the grocery store, for that matter, trying to use what was occurring at the time and filling in enough detail with interest without overburdening the reader, which I think some people do. They add too much detail, and you kind of lose the point or the focus of the reader.
Wow.
I thought that course was very interesting, and there was a second one, which came a little bit later, which dealt with chapters. Obviously, you have to be at the point that you have some chapters to share. And it was a group of similar new writers. We were all sitting down, maybe there were 8 or 9 of us, and every week we exchanged a chapter and gave each other some rather honest and sometimes blunt criticism. And feedback, and that can give you confidence. I suppose it can also slow you down a bit, but you have to be willing to question yourself.
So did you find that process moved you forward in your writing process, criticism and feedback?
It did, but it also helped me. I think it's useful for a writer to develop a little bit of a thick skin, because you can't certainly please everybody. And while there were some very supportive people in the class who got the message, understood it, and gave me some additional direction with some good questions. Why don't you answer this, or why don't you consider mm-hmm. talking about that? There were others who thought, there was one gentleman who thought that I could take part of my story and make it a little bit more spicy, a little bit more, have some more encounters with some sexual innuendo, and just kind of went in a direction that had nothing to do with the book. And this is a biography, a nonfiction, and he was writing science fiction and all sorts of other things. And that was for his book, not mine.
Oh, that's funny. So, Jeffrey, what are you working on now? What's your next book?
Well, I'm working on the follow-up to this. It was originally proposed to the publisher as a two-book project. The first one was my story dealing with this to kind of open the topic and make it more comfortable for patients and doctors to discuss that aspect of the disease. This book is sort of a compendium of a number of other stories. I have a group of authors similarly situated who have MS, and some of them who are medical professionals who treat the cognitive part of MS, and they're each writing chapters from different angles. Some how to treat it, how to identify it, from the patient's point of view, what it's like in their family, how to talk to their spouses, significant others. So they're all bringing to the table sort of a full circle of how do you deal with this and how do different people encounter it.
Wow, sounds great, Jeffrey. Thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
This has been another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. You can find a link to Jeffrey's book, Facing the Cognitive Challenges of Multiple Sclerosis, at my website, rightnowcoach.com. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always write.